Okay, we're going to try to finish the parak. So Kuf Lamed Vav, the Gemara talks about a baby who's born in the 8th month. So in the 8th month, Bimei Chazal, Ruba Druba babies didn't make it to survive after 30 days. If you're born premature, even today without medical help, the chances are a baby born premature is going to die. So the Gemara tells us that in a way it's like he's already dead. It says that he has of muksa, the baby's muksa. It tells us that if someone was chovel on him on Shabbos, they'd be pater, because it's not an isser of chavala, because it's like he's a little bit like he's already dead. Mitzachin, he's not mamish dead, but he's not tamei. Stam, if someone miscarries, the fetus is with tamei tumas ohal. Over here, lamaisa, he's alive, and lamaisa, he's tahar. So what's pshat? The basic pshat is that he's not mamash dead. Why? Because you see, he's alive. He's alive, but what's he alive from? He's alive because the strength of his mother, that he has like borrowed strength, you know, that he was given life. But it's not a real life. It's not his own. He doesn't have koach of chias mitzad atzmo. It's just mitzad. He's still living on borrowed power from being in utero. But he's be'etzim and nefil. He's be'etzim going to die. Right, so for Shabbos, it's not going to be an Isser Chavala, because by Shabbos, there's only an Isser Chavala if the Gemara says in Shmona Shratzim, it has to be Doma Le'elim Adamin, the Elim, the rams that were shechted for the Mishkan. So it has to be something that's a real koch of Chiyus Mitzad Atzma, right? The Gemara has a Machlokus, Tanam have a Machlokus, so you're allowed to killing lice on Shabbos. So you see, it's not just something that's moving, that doesn't make it a Baal Chai for Shabbos. It has to be done with the Eilim. So this Ben Ches. So it's considered that it's somewhat dead. And now what about for Sakanas Nefashos? Can we save it? Can we do a Malacha de Reis in order to save this Ben Ches? So Pashas, we think you could. Right? There's some chance it'll live. Right? The Gemara even tells us there's such a thing as a Ben Ches that does live. The Gemara says, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, that a Ben Ches who lives past 30 days, so he gets a day of a regular Bar Kayama. So we see there's such a thing. And you can have a Ben Ches that you know that he's premature, and you know that he's not full term, but you know he didn't make it into his 9th month, but there's still a tzad. Chazal said that there's occasionally babies that develop quickly, and they develop by the end of the 7th month. So what's the din? Conceivably it could live, so we would assume that for sure, if there's a chash of the kuach nefesh, we would assume for sure it could be mechal Shabbos for this baby. Oh, so the emes is, as the Gemara says, the Gemara writes that the baby shocha minikasa, the baby's muxus, so the mother shouldn't pick it up, but she could bend over and nurse the baby mipnei hasakana. Mipnei hasakana, so sakana, you assume sakana to who? Stomach to the baby. So that's what Rashi writes in Yevam Staff Pei. He says it's sakana to the baby, and therefore for sakana, she's allowed to do things for the baby. And Rashi be asked though, Rashi Bias says, no, sakana means for the mother, because sakana for the baby, taka we won't care about, because the baby's not considered to really be alive. So in the Yad Ramah, in Bav Basra Daf Chaf, so he quotes this as a machlokus, he says, machlokus Rishonim, whether this baby, this Ben Ches, would we be Michal Shabbos for this baby or not? Right? Is it like it's already dead to the extent that since it can't live, we won't be b'chal Shabbos? So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Lamed. So surprisingly, Paskins Lachumra. Paskins, you cannot be b'chal Shabbos for a Ben Ches. And even though there's a tzad, there's a muta de muta could live, afal pikin, you can't be b'chal Shabbos. So the shail is why on earth? Why on earth can't even Michal Shabbos? Maybe it could live. How can that be Michal Shabbos? How's it possible for that to be? little bit horrifying. So the Magen Avraham and others, so they say the pshat is because when are we mechal Shabbos by a sakana? So even when there's a miyuta, that someone could live with mechal Shabbos, but that's only when there's a cheskas chayim. Like, so what this means, if you have a town and there's an avalanche in the town, and we know there's one yid in the town, and we know it might be that yid who's under the avalanche, maybe there's a yid there, maybe he's already dead, maybe even if we work to undig him, we still won't be able to save him, maybe we won't even find him, it's very unlikely still, you're Michal Shabbos. But that's because we know there's someone there. We know there's at least there's a Jew, and we know we have a suffix. Oh, maybe Reb so-and-so is the guy who's avalanche. He was living near the avalanche. Maybe he's underneath. However, it's not always true. It says in Shin Chav Tes, based on the Gemara, that if there's time we hear there was an avalanche in an area, and we have no idea there was any Jew in the area, we know somebody, we have reports that a person was under the avalanche, but Ruva Deruva, people in the world are Gayim. We don't know that a Jew is in that area at all, so we won't be Michal Shabbos. It could be. Could be, okay, but that's not enough. That's still not enough because it has to be at least a Leidus HaSafik. There has to be something Kavua, something we know, that there is a living person. Or a person who was at some time a living person. Maybe he's dead now, but maybe we know there's a person who was alive at the beginning of Shabbos. So over here, the pshat will be is that he has no cheskes chayim, because a baby in utero, so he's not mamish alive. Right? We know that you can't do an abortion. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk. It says, shofech dam adam ba'adam damu yishafech. There's a din you can't do, but l'maisa, you're not chayv misa for killing an unborn baby, because it's not called a nefesh, it's called maka nefesh, and this isn't called a nefesh. Right, if the Gemara says, if the mother's in sakana, will kill the baby to save the ober, to save the mother, so it's not mamash a nefesh. And if it's a ben ches, right, a ben ches, it doesn't have a din of a nefesh, right? And the Gemara explains that even though a person who's alive, even if he's about to die, and even if he's been mortally wounded, you'll still be Michal Shabbos to give him another minute of life. But this is different. This is different because this is the Gemara says, this is different because the baby never had Shas HaKosher, never had a time when it was born and capable of living. Until it's born and capable of living. If it's capable of living, then it becomes a ghostly. Then something happens, so it gets a din of a chai. It's a chai until it's actually dead. But a baby, we view it as if this is something that was never, you know, maybe in Ruchnis it never got an neshama, but it was something that was never capable of life. It never had the ability to live. And since it never had the ability of living, so Mimela, it's considered that this is doesn't have chiyus. So what is the bottom line of Ma'aseh B'Zman Hazeh? So it's nice from Shlomo Zalman. It's in Shulchan Shlomo Simin Shin Lamed. So he says something interesting. He says an interesting pshar here. He says even B'Zman Hazeh is a din of Ben Ches. I'm surprised to see that. That even today, if there's a baby and a doctor say without medical intervention, this baby would die. So he says, be'etzem, we view the baby as just not alive now. Oh. So Shlomo Zalman says, now, afal pikein, if the baby might live with medical help, so he says, so then it'll be Michal Shabbos for him. He says, but not because he's alive right now, not because he's a nefesh. It's not really a nefesh. He says, but rather, the pshat is just like a uber, a woman who's pregnant. So there, the Bahag says that you can be Michal Shabbos to save the Uber. Right? A woman who, if she doesn't Michal Shabbos, she doesn't drive to the hospital and get treatment, she's going to miscarry. So she could be Michal Shabbos. The Rabban says it's not because the baby has a nefesh. The baby doesn't not have a nefesh. Al Pi Torah, it wouldn't be considered to be its own life that's the Shabbos. But there's a drasha of Michal Shabbos. There's one drasha of a chai behem that I'll live for life. Your mechal shabbos. There's another drasha of something that's going to be able to be be Mekayim Shabbos, so be Mechal Shabbos for him. So the baby could live. If the woman doesn't miscarry, she'll have a nice baby who's going to live his whole life doing mitzvahs. So that is Docha Shabbos. But mitzad the baby, and therefore, if you can't put him on life support, and with that he'll be able to survive and grow up. So Mamela, the life support is like he's not born. You can put him back into the utero. Oh. So he says, what's the nafkamina? He says, nafkamina is first of all be muksa. He says, if no, like, tzar ba'al chayim there, stam, for no reason, you won't be allowed to pick up the baby. He says, also nafkamina if it's chayesha. He says, if the doctor were to tell you, there's nowhere this baby, right, whether it's born premature, it's born that it's the way it's born, it's formed, there's no way this baby could possibly live on its own 30 days. And it's for sure not going to live. So let's say you could be Mechal Shabbos, and you'll let it live an extra day. So says Shlomo Zalman, that wouldn't really be Docha Shabbos. Because even though a person was alive, so his 1 minute will be Docha Shabbos, but here won't be Docha Shabbos. He says another nafkamina is very interesting. He says, what about Pidyon HaBen? What if a baby is born, and when it's born, without medical intervention, it'll die? Right? Let's say it's born in prematurely and it needs help. Right, even today, born in the 8th month, they'll most likely die. So it needs help, so you'll put it in the incubator, great. Now what about when day 30 comes? Right, so remember, day 30, Pidyon HaBen is day 30, the Gemara says, because then it's Yotzei Misafik Nefo. It's proven itself that I have independent life. But here, Lehafik, it hasn't proven anything. Lehafik, it got to day 30, but only because it's been in the incubator. So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he's Masupik if there's a real Pidyon HaBen there, and he says there's a Suffolk, he says maybe you should make a bracha. Because right? Maybe this baby hasn't really gone out of 30 days. Even if it gets out of 30 days, you can still clear. Because when was it born? When it was born, it wasn't a Bar Kayama. Right? Maybe it's even, right, if maybe you could say there should never be a Pidyon HaBen.
Unless it's able to live 30 days off the ventilator.
Right, so let's say you could live, now let's say you could live for 30 days, have 30 days off the ventilator. So Pashas, then there would be a Pidyon HaBen with the bracha. The only shayla is, maybe you could say, you know, a baby who's born, Yosei Dofen, doesn't have a Leida. So you don't do a Pidyon HaBen. No need for Pidyon HaBen. So here, maybe when it was born, when was it born? It was born maybe when it got off life support. Okay, but that's not a normal Leida. Because it wasn't a vaginal birth, was it?
It was, no?
So maybe it was. Maybe it was. I'm just thinking, maybe it was. I could hear even maybe not.
It could be.
Okay, so it was born. But when it was born, it wasn't born. It went back into the incubator. Can you hear that? Okay, maybe you can't hear that. Okay.
Because of the Suffolk Uber, yeah. We live in Mechal Shabbos.
Yeah.
So how does that fit with the Magen Avraham who said you need a Becheskes Chaim? Otherwise, we don't want Suffolk.
So saying like this. So it could be like this. That it could be that Lamais is going to live, but it's not mamash alive now. But it could live. It could grow up. So you still say Chal Shabbos Echakadeshet Tishmer Shabbos Osharim.
We're saying that Becheskes.
Now, Achronim talk about that. That's good. A good point. Achronim say, there's some Achronim who say that by an Uber, you have to be more sure it's going to live. That could be pshat here. It could be pshat here, too, is that you could be, you need more chance that it's going to live in order to be Mechal Shabbos. Why? Because, I'm going to speak this out, the Gemara says in Yuma that V'chai Behem tells me, even if it's Suffolk, B'kuach Nefesh, even if there's a tiny chance it's going to live, V'chai Behem tells me, be Mechal Shabbos. But if we just learned from Mechal Shabbos, Ech Deish Yishmur Shabbos, so Memela, maybe we wouldn't always say that. If it's a miuta de miuta, that this could save the person, and he'll keep Shabbat. It's very unlikely. It's a 1 in 1,000 that this person will be able to keep another Shabbos. B'stama, either way, he's going to die. So maybe that wouldn't be enough reason to be mechallel Shabbos.
I think it wouldn't have a chayim, but I'd have Kedesh Yishma Shabbos Tarba.
Right, and then maybe in Kedesh Yishma Shabbos Tarba, on this unborn baby, maybe we would not be as quick to be mechallel Shabbos. Okay, so what? I'm saying this mostly for lamdas. Basically, we would assume that after we have the chayim behem, stomach, we would assume that if we think the doctor, this is what Shlomo Zalman says, he says, the doctor tells you this might live, so then even if he doesn't have a pitaira din of Avachai, it will still be Bechal Shabbos. Okay. So, I'll in here on Kuf Lamed Zayin. We're going to try to talk as many in Yanam as we could. Kuf Lamed Zayin, it talks about that the din that sometimes meal is pushed off many days. It says until the 12th day, if the baby was born on an Erev Shabbos, and then the next week, a week later, the Shabbos falls out on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so Mela, it's a suffix, when his 8th day is, therefore you can't give him a Mela on Shabbos because it's a suffix, and not only that, on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you also won't give a Mela, because since it's not a meal bismana, it's not docha yomtiv. And not only that, it's not even docha the second day of yomtiv, second day of Rosh Hashanah. So that's what the Mishnah says. The Rabbi in the Perish Mishnayis is very bothered. Why should that be? Mechaira and yomtiv sheni is just a rabbanan. Mila, even shalom bismana, is a mitzvah deraisa. The mitzvah deraisa, so why shouldn't the mitzvah deraisa be docha the mitzvah drabanan? Very stark akasha. So therefore he said, no, it would be docha. He said, a regular yom tushen shel galus avada, mila, even shalom bismana would be docha yom tushen. And he quotes the Gemara from Beitza. Beitza Chaf Bey says that on all Yom Tusheni, except Yom Tusheni of Rosh Hashanah, if someone needs to take refuos, he's allowed to take refuos. We have a cooler, we're more makel because it's only Zerabanan, so let's be more makel. It's more makel, so therefore, let's allow you to take refuos. And therefore, he says also, Kol Shekein by a mitzvah deraisa, to do a mitzvah deraisa, Mila Shalom Ismana, you would do it on Yom Tusheni. He says, why on Rosh Hashanah do we not do Mila Shalom Bismana? Says the Rambam, that's because of Kedusha Achas. Kedusha Achas, the Rambam understands, tells me that we have to treat Rosh Hashanah, even though it's Rabbanan, but since we're calling it Kedusha Achas, since we're masakit to be Kedusha Achas, we treat it as if it's Deraisa, and therefore it pushes off even if it's in Deraisa. That's what the Rambam says. Rambam says by Avelis the same thing. Avelis, even if Yom Rishon Shal Avelis is the Raisa, the Rambam says Afal Pikein on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, since Kedusha Achas, we give it a din of the Raisa. So that's the Rambam Shita. However, the standard halacha is like the Rush. The Shulchan Aruch and Reish Samech Vav passing is like the Rush. And the Rush says that all Yom Tov Shenis were Mechalel. Sorry, all Yom Tov Shenis, we never give a bris on Yom Tov Sheni, even second day Shavuos, even though it's just Rabbanan, even though it's more Mekel, and we allow a person with a headache to take medicine. Afal Pikein, Alagabi Milosha Lobisman, we will not do the Mila. Big riot to this, you know, learning Beitza this year, just mentioned there's a big riot to this, is that the Mishnah just says, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, you don't do a bris. In Beitza Daf Vav, Nardai, if you remember, there is a shita there, Nardai, that even Rosh Hashanah is Beit Kedushas. So to just explain the Mishnah that, it's Dafka Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, say it's dafka because it's Kedusha Achas, it's not so posh, because it's not so posh that Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas. We hold it's Kedusha Achas, you're explaining a Mishnah. So he wants people to call the Alma. It's not the call the Alma that Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Akra. So therefore, L'chaira, Rosh is then held. The Gemara says Rosh Hashanah because the Mishnah is written in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, the only 2-day Yom Tov is Rosh Hashanah. But in principle, every Yom Tov Sheni will be Doche Mila. Amila. Amila Shalom Isman will not be done on Yom Tov Sheni. So the kasha is just why on earth not? Right? It's the Reisa. How do you just push off a Reisa? So the Pasha Yisoid is to say that you know, you're supposed to get a Mila right away, but it's you could do it the next day. Mila Bismana said it has to be done on the 8th day, but Mila Shalom Bismana, it is a mitzvah, but you could do the mitzvah tomorrow. It's not mamish being mevatel a mitzvah. The Rambam, so he writes, every day you go without a bris, you're mevatel a mitzvah saseh. So the Rambam writes that. So the Rambam's l'shitasa. But the emphasis is, we don't have to say that. We could say that it's not mamish that way. And the concept will be is what we saw in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Eliezer needs a special mucker that Machshirei Mila are Dorcha Shabbos. And even though he already has a mucker that Machshirei Shofar and Lulav and Sukkah are Dorcha Shabbos. And not only that, the Gemara says that according to Rav Lazar, if not that mezuzah, you could be mafkir your house and be mafkir the chi of mezuzah, even machshir and mezuzah betzim should be doicha shabbos. Yet, without the makar of Yom HaShmini, we would have thought that machshir mila are not doicha shabbos. Why? Gemara says, because mila you could always do the next day. It's the 8th day, even when it's the 8th day. You'll miss the mila of doing on the 8th day, but there's a tzad to say, oh, you can do it tomorrow. Right? Even mezuzah, if you couldn't be mafkir the house, Rav Lazar says machshirei mezuzah would be docha Shabbos, whereas mila shelo bismana, Rabbi Elazar agrees it's not docha Shabbos. Why is it not docha Shabbos? The pshat is because mezuzah, if I don't have a mezuzah in my house today, even if I put my mezuzah up tomorrow, so lemaisa, the mezuzah today on Wednesday, I haven't done. Okay, I'll keep the mitzvah on Thursday, but the Wednesday mitzvah, I was mamash mevatel a mitzvah. By Mila, apparently it's not like that. Apparently it's different by Mila. Now, Avad, you can't just stop and push off doing a Mila. 10 years, let's do it in 20 years from now. Avad, the person can't do that. Avad, the Kavanas HaTorah should be done right away. But If you don't do it, you haven't mamash mevatel a mitzvah. There's a Rashi, very nice Rashi. Rashi talks about the Gemara says that mila shaloba b'smano is docha tzaras. Afal pikin, the Gemara tells us to learn some levado that mila shaloba b'smano is not docha yomtov. So the Rashi that says Shabbos chafdalid, Rashi says that mila shaloba b'smano is not docha yomtov. Because you could do it tomorrow. And he says, just like Noser, right? The Gemara tells us that Noser, you can't burn Noser on Yom Tov because you could do it tomorrow. Even though the Pasuk says, Lo Salon Ad Boker, you shouldn't leave it over. But it says, Van Noser Be'esh Tesarif. It says that it's Nitzak Lase. If you do it, you should do it right away, but if you don't do it, it's not the end of the world. It's Nitzak Lase as long as you burn it. So the same way, Mila, you should do it. For sure you should do it. You shouldn't leave it off. We see, there's a mitzvah Yom HaShemini. We see a Yid should have a bris. But if you do it in the end, you haven't misakin it, right? You haven't, there's a Kavanah Satari, you haven't Makayim, but it's not Mamash. You haven't Mamash Bim Mavat Lasei. And therefore, if you're pushing it off for good reasons, such as it's Yom Tov Sheni, and Chazal want us to keep you up to Sheni, so therefore, that would be a legitimate reason to push off the bris Mila. I'll just mention, maybe you've seen it or you've heard of it, there's a famous question that was sent to Dvar Avram, the Kavanah Rav, about there's 2 milos to be done. One was a mila bismano and one is a mila shelo bismano, right? One baby was yellow and after 3 weeks doing the bris, and one was a mila bismano on the 8th day. The question is which mila should you do first? Which one do you do first? Oh. So, Gillian Marsha, Simon Reish Samach. So he says, Avad, you do the Mila Bizmano first. Right? Chaviv Mitzvah Bizmano. Right? It's very nice to do Bizmano, and it's a bigger mitzvah. You're getting Yom Hashmini. It's a bigger mitzvah than Mila Shalom Bizmano. Pashat. So that's just Pashat. That's the scene, Pashat. But Zvarav Ram claimed that, no, it's not Pashat. He thinks not that way. He says something that also sounds to make sense. Definitely superficially makes sense. He says, Mila Bizmano, you could do it anytime on the eighth day. The Torah says do it on the eighth day. If I do it later on the eighth day, I'm fully keeping the mitzvah. He says, but Mila Shalom Bizmano, you're late. The Torah says do it on the eighth day, and now you're past the time. You're past the due date. Every second, right, if you keep your library book on the due date, you can return wherever you want. When you pass the due date, every second you're being over Nisr Gezel. So he says, Alvada, you have to right away save that baby who's sitting there, that poor kid sitting there with the Esser of Bitalase on his head. That's what he writes. So many wrote letters against him, and then in the Chelik Beis, he tries to respond to everyone attacking him. But there's good reasons not to like that psak, right? Because first of all, he's assuming that Mila Shalom Bizmano, you're over an Isser every second. Even the Rambam's Lashon was Kol Yom V'Yom, that you go without doing a bris, you're Mevatel and Asay. He says Kol Yom V'Yom, he tries to say it's Lav Dafka. He mentioned Rashi has that Lashon Kol Yom V'Yom by Mezuzah. Right, Pashtus, right, we discussed, but when we're talking about Chiyuv Talmud Torah and Tefillin, Pashtus in the Mitzvos Asay, there's always a day of we don't say that every second mamish you're mevatel a mitzvah. So yeah, in my parish of Shnayis, he just says kol zman that you are not mal, you're over basay. So I don't know. He was medayik there. The Baravram was medayik there to say every second. But I didn't see that. What? It does not say the words in my parish Mishnayis. It didn't say called Rega Verega. If we know the Arabic, we could look and have a shita. But so okay. There's one other shayla here that's really a killer shayla pointed out. Zecher Yitzchak points it out, Simon Vav, others point it out, is that the Mechaber says something paladic. He says, even if it's a suffix Mila Bizmano, I mean, it was born in a Bein HaShmashos, and the Yom Tusheni comes out, and Yom Tusheni is a suffix, is this day 8 or day 9? So it's a suffix Mila Bizmano. So the Shulchan Aruch says, even suffix Mila Bizmano is not Docha Yom Tusheni. That's the Mechaber. So Rav Itzel Aponovich was cholek. There's many chodin of Yehuda was cholek. They said, how could that possibly be? It's a suffix mitzvah deraisa. To do it now, that's Docha Shabbos. It's a suffix. This is just a suffix. But okay, but this is Yom Tov Sheni. Yom Tov Sheni itself is only a suffix. This is, first of all, it should be a sveik sveika. Right? The Mechaber actually says, we don't want to get too into it, but the Mechaber actually writes in Helchus Yom Tov that suffix muchon is mutter in Yom Tov Sheni because it's a sveik sveika. Yom Tov Sheni is a suffix. L'maisa here, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. So first of all, the Israel Chor is just an Israel fake faker. But the mitzvah, the Rav Itzel Aponovich says Mechab is even more shver. He says because there's dinam mitoch on Yom Tov. Right? So we learn from Levado that mitzvah shlo bizmano, we don't say mitoch. Okay. But mitzvah, when there's a suffix, it's mano. So why are you doing the milah? Because there's a suffix, this is a chiv hayom. If it's a chiv of the day, you say mitoch. L'chayra, even if it's a suffix, you can still be matzah because a suffix, so suffix the rice of l'chumra, you're mechuyev to do it today, al pi taira, that should be matter. It doesn't have to be a vadai, right? Your ochel nefesh doesn't, yeah? Okay, maybe. Right? Okay, that could be. Okay, but we assume, like most are shown in Pashtus, that suffix deraisa is deraisa l'chumra, and therefore l'chayra, L'chayra, we should say mitoch. So those are killer kashas. Killer kashas. So what to do? So I thought you have to say a wild teretz. It's really wild teretz, except that Rav Chaim said it before me. Not to answer this kasha. But says Rav Chaim, a beautiful teretz. From another Gemara we had, the Gemara Darshins are lasso. On Kuflam Gimel, the Gemara has a drasha. It says are lasso, and that's a mat, lo arla safek. And that's a mat, someone who is no lo b'bein hashmasha. So if it's a safek from arla lasso, we learn that the mila is not docha Shabbos. Okay? Right? Our lasso, the way the Gemara says Peshuto, our lasso tells me if there's a suffix milas ches, it's not machal Shabbos because there's our lasso of law suffix. So the kasha is that Tosus asks, what do you need a pasuk to be mat suffix? If it's just suffix, of course it's not machal Shabbos. Why do we machal Shabbos for a suffix? Also says Rav Chaim, a beautiful terrace, he says, no. Our lasso is telling me that if it's a suffix, if it's a baby who's born ben Hashmashos, it's a suffix ben ches, suffix ben tes. It's not Docha Shabbos, but Mitam Vadai. It's Vadai not Docha Shabbos. If he brought it on Shabbos, if he did the meal on Shabbos, he'd be Chayiv Achatas Midina Chet Vadai. Right? Forgetting the whole Tovet Var Mitzvah Suga. But if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, you'd be Chayiv Achatas. Why? Because since it was a suffix, it's be'etzem not docha Shabbos. The Torah is telling you, b'yom hashmini, yimul basar alasso, arlas vaday. Only arlas vaday has a din that it's docha Shabbos. So maybe if you say that, you could say that when it's a suffix shmini, you've completely lost the din of shmini. And the mela, once you've lost the din of shmini, it's like a regular mila shalobis mano, and therefore it's not doche yom tusheni. Oh, so that's good. You hear this, Yonason?
You heard us repeat that?
Yeah, let me repeat this again. The kash is like this. The mechaber writes that a baby that suffix shmini, suffix chi, nola ben hashmashos, on Yom Tov Sheni, you still won't do the mila. Kasha is, chayra, you have to be malat, midin suffix. Suffix the rice to the chumra. Yom Tov Sheni itself is just a suffix. So it's only a suffix, it's aser. And you have a suffix that's mano, you have to give a mila now, midin mitzvah's mano, and you should say mitoch. Say mitoch, midin that al pidin, this is a mitzvah hayom. So we're saying, no, it's not mitzvah hayom. This is a regular mila shalobis mano. Why? Because that din of a b'yom hashmini, that special din of b'yom hashmini, I feel b'shabbos, has a miat of yimul basar or lasso v'lo hasafik. So says Rav Chaim, lo hasafik doesn't mean lo hasafik because, of course, Suffolk Hill Shabbos Lechumra. No, it means lo ha-suffolk, b'chlal, there's no din of shmini, midin vaday. There's no din of shmini. Even the Klapi Shmaya Galia, this is the eighth day. Even so, it's Hill Shabbos. Because if it's a suffolk, it's not given to Hill Shabbos. So Maisa, that's the minhag, even though there's Doli Achronim here who are cholik, but that the minhag is like Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So now we're going to get more into the real pratim of the actual mila. So first, one issue that comes up in mila is Menshel Kofla Amit Zayin, the din of a baby sick. When we push off a mila, so the Gemara tells us in Kuflam Zayin, any baby that's sick, kol gufo is sick, such as a baby has fever. So the halach is you can't give him a mila, and not only can't you give him a mila, but you have to wait 7 days. 7 periods of 24 hours, 7 full days, me'es la'es, to make sure he's fully recuperated. The Gemara says in Yevamis, if it's something lesser, he's not sick called gufo, he has a headache. I don't know exactly how you know that. Whatever the doctor tells you, has Eric or something. So you don't do the Mila, but you don't have to wait 7 days. A common question is, what about the baby's yellow? Right? We have a Gemara by Yassi about the baby being yellow. So the Meiri says it does not need 7 days. And that's the more accepted halacha of the Shlomo Zalman, most passing like this Meiri. That a Shinu Mar, if the baby's yellow, and then is no longer yellow, or Poskim say if the bilirubin starts going down. I don't know if you know what bilirubin are. I assume you know what I'm talking about. Okay. A baby, if its liver's not, very often babies are born, the liver hasn't totally become functional yet. So if it hasn't become functional, the baby gets a little bit yellow. And they measure this with something called, it's called measuring the bilirubin, that the liver is supposed to clean out of the blood. If it starts going down, then you see, the liver's, the bilirubin numbers, meaning the liver's cleaning out the blood well, it's helping to start cleaning it out. So then you see, the liver's working properly. And then you could do the Mila. And then the Miri says you don't have to wait 7 days, because it's not that the baby was sick. The baby wasn't sick. It's just that it wasn't fully, wasn't optimally healthy. And there's an interesting Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos, wild Gemara, you've probably heard it, that in the Midbar, the baby's born in the Midbar, after the Egel, we're not given bris milas because the Kodesh Baruch was angry at Klal Yisrael, and he made it that there was never, the winds were never favorable, it was always very hot and sticky, or whatever it was, it wasn't a wind, and there's, Rapapa says that there's a din, Gemara says there's a din in Yevamos, that if it's a cloudy day or a hot day or things aren't optimal, we push off the bris because maybe that adds a little bit of a level of sakana. But if it's cloudy, the mole can't see so well. If it's hot and uncomfortable, the baby won't be comfortable. And normally shluchim etzvenu nezakim, right? We don't have to be so careful. However, l'chayra, this would be bari hezeker. Right? It's considered, a meal is always dangerous. Gemara Gittin and Zayin, the Kosef Pasuk says, Alecha haragnu kol hayom, it says, Pasuk and Tillam. We die for Hashem. What does that mean? By mila. Sometimes people get milas and they die. That's a mila, is that kind of sefashos?
Kol hayom.
What?
Is that kol hayom?
Kol hayom, I don't know. Every day, I don't know. Hopefully not, it's not so deadly. But Be'etzem Mila is potentially deadly, and therefore we only do what the mitzvah mechayev us with optimal conditions. If you don't have optimal conditions, you don't do the bris. Says the Gemara, says Rav Papa, if so, why today do we do brisim? Why don't we make sure on everything, the weather and the clouds, and make sure there's great lighting and everything? So he says, because the Pasuk says, Shomer Psam Hashem. Hashem guards the fools, and therefore, since we're all fools, because we're not so careful about every little thing that can make a sakana, therefore Hashem protects us. It's called Dasha Barabim. Anything that people aren't careful about, we assume, it's called Dasha Barabim. People aren't careful about it. Hashem takes care of the fools, and therefore we could be some of Hashem's going to take care of us too. And therefore we could do brisim today, even if there's bad weather, even if the lighting's not so great. Interesting Menuka Yosef, well-known Menuka Yosef from the beginning of Parakah Aral. Maybe we'll get to it next year. So Yosef says, it says Shomer Psalm Hashem. Hashem takes care of the fools. But it's better not to be a fool, right? Chazal are always telling us things that you should be careful about it, that it could be a sakana. Even the people aren't careful about it, but we're a chacham, a talmud chacham knows better than a regular person, right? There's no one more careful, right? The Gemara said you can't go on a trip, but talmud chacham can't go with an am aret on a trip, because only talmud the chacham know how to be really careful on a trip, because they're so worried about sakanas nefashos, right? Right? Amarats, and maybe with smoke, but talmud chacham, of course not. It's pashat. It says, because it's ke'orach yemeinu. right? Tamilcham marks of life. So Chacham says in Mukhi Yosef, a Tamil Chacham, a person who's a Chacham, should be careful and he shouldn't give a meal on a cloudy day. You shouldn't be a Pesi. So it's interesting that it's not the Minhag. I was thinking there's a bunch of reasons why we're not so careful. You know, we're careful, you know, but if this is something that normally people aren't careful about, you don't always have to be such a hypochondriac when you come to Shuris HaMitzvah. But because the Maisa, you're going to push with the Mitzvah. So maybe you should be a Pesi. And there's something good about being a fool, right? Because if you're a fool, you'll keep the mitzvah. So what's the Mukios is saying, be a chacham. Maybe don't be a chacham. So I just had a big riot to this, and you should be a pesi sometimes. So it's a fairish Rashi. I don't even know what the Mukios does with it. You can think about that. Rashi in Zos HaBracha, based on a Sefri in Parashas Baloscha. The Sefri says that to mechvi recha, Levi was called a chassid, and it says in sorrow they kept the bris. So it says the Sefri, they kept the bris even in the midbar when everyone else wasn't doing milas. Levi always did a mila, even though they didn't have good weather, it was cloudy. Levi always did a mila because he was a chassid. So what do we see from this? The chara we see from here at Big Yisait that a chassid, it's good not to be so. When it comes to mitzvos, you shouldn't be more of a tzaddik than you have to be. If you are there with Shevet Levi, says we're pesi, we don't care, we don't worry about these things. We have that amunah pshuta, we do the mila. So the chari could say so to b'sman hazeh. There's a mila, there's a tiny bit of sakana, but. You know, even if we're not worried about it, you know, maybe there's some neighborhood where they are very, you know, so you don't have to worry about it. Okay, there's some of that hashgacha for other things too, you know. We're all long enough after COVID that we're not traumatized. It's a healthy balance, for you know. In my neighborhood, we're south. Okay, anyway. Not going to go. Okay, anyway. Okay. So now, just the Maisa Mila, a few things. First of all, how much do you have to cut off to be a good Mila? Okay, we're not. It's always hard to talk about this because we've never seen an Arla. You know, so the whole discussion, unless you've actually watched the bris, I don't know if anybody watched it, I at least had babies who weren't mild, but probably never even seen an Arla, you don't even know what we're talking about. Okay. We're still going to do our best here. So the way it works is on top of the gids, you have two layers of skin. You have one layer of skin that goes over the whole thing. Then, over the top of the gids, the Rosh HaGids, there's a second layer of skin. There's an inner layer of skin. It's a different type of skin. It's not the regular type of skin that the rest is a little bit. And these two layers, the outer layer is called the Arla, and the second layer, the inner layer, which is just over the top of the gid, is called the Priya skin. Now, just so you know what it is, the Priya skin, the two layers of skin are not connected. There's one right next to each other. They're not actually connected. The Priya skin is connected to the Rosh HaGid very slightly by a mature adult Arul, a guy. Okay, I'm just saying this from Svarim. A guy, so they're not. It's not actually connected. By a guy, those two layers of skin could be peeled down and reveal the Rosh HaGid. Okay, if they're real aro, right? It's retractable. Okay, on a baby or a young child, a kid, it's still connected, right? There's one thing connecting the Rosh Hagid, and then there's another layer that covers the whole Aver, going over the whole thing, right? There's two things on top of that, the whole. Okay, now, what is Mila? So Mila is uncovering the top of the Gid and cutting the two layers. So first of all, how much has to be cut off? So the sun cult sits in Hamaak Vina Samila. Extremely unclear what this is. We're just going to say the basic pshat taken by the Rishonim that comes out of Rashi. So the Mishnah tells us Elohim sits in Hamaak Vina Samila, Basar Hachofe Es Rov Hatara. It's the skin that covers most of the Atara. In the Gemara, Rav says, Basar hachofa es rov gova shel hatara. He says, the basar that's chofa, rov, he adds this word gova of the atara. Right? Not 100% clear what he's adding and what's going on here. What does he mean to add rov gova shel hatara? Rashi says, gova shel hatara, Rashi says he's coming to include even the makam echad. So what does this mean? I remember looked at Rashi. I think Yehuda showed this to me first and made me come to grips with the fact that I had no clue what Rashi was talking about, and I really wouldn't know. I looked into it a little bit because we're not learning the anatomy. This isn't something so clear. Rashi says it's the shura. It's this like rim going around the Rosh HaGid, that at that point, after that point, going upwards, it gets thinner, and going, it gets narrower, and going down, it gets narrower. Read that Rashi, you have no idea what we're talking about. Okay, but it's an interesting thing that in modern medical terminology, there's something called the corona, still today called the corona. The corona is referring to something that's seen as like a slight rim, a little bit wider at the base of the top of the gate. It's like a rim going around. As far as I could tell, this is always called the corona, which is probably where Rashi knew this from. Like, how does Rashi know what that Tara is? Some just because this is what that Tara means. Atara, the Malbim tells you, Atara is different than a Keser. A Keser is a crown. And Atara is a wreath or a circulet. You know, you can talk about a crown like a round circle being put on someone's head, and then you can talk about a big crown like the King of England. So it's a Atara is like something going around, like Ataras Chasanim. The Gemara's Lashon Ataras Chasanim. It's like a thing, like a diadem going like around the head like that. And it's still called a corona today, which I checked in Latin, also means the same thing. It means a circulet or a wreath going around. So that's what it's called, and it's the, you know, it's not, Rashi makes it sound like it's dramatically wider. It's not dramatically wider. It's something that could be called the rim. And it's the base of the dome, and then at the base of the dome is this thing called that tower. So what is it that can't be covered? So we're just going to say the bottom of halacha because we don't have so much time. But this is in the Beis Yosef, quoted B'Shem the Chacham Asfaradi. He says that like they erupted a whole machlokas about what's that tara and what has to be cut, and he says this was the conclusion. So this tzvei dinim. Okay, the tzvei dinim in what's ma'akev. So the Mishnah says basar hachofes rov hatara. So what does that mean? The rov hatara means there's this thin band going around the gid. Okay, let's imagine like this thing. See here? Okay. This is not the most sophisticated aid. There's a slight thing here that's a little bit wider. So if this rove of this area is covered with Arla, it's possible. The meal is possible. It's covering rove of the Atara. Then there's a second din, which Rav tells you is Rov Gova Shel Atara, and Rashi tells you that's even a Makam Echad. So what's that talking about? What does it mean, Gova Shel Atara? It's not so clear. There is an opinion, maybe it means Rov Gova Atara means Rov the way up that tiny rim. The problem is you can't really say that because the rim is so thin. Just like on the pen is so thin, so to the satara, you know, it's probably like a half a millimeter on a baby. It's not like, doesn't have really clear what it is. It's not so anatomically distinct. So rather what they say, you find even Lashon Yerushalmi says, Rov Gaga Shel Atara. Rov of the roof of that Atara. So he says it means like this. If you have a tzitz, meaning a strip of Arla, okay, so the way Rishonim say it, I saw this, Yaakov HaGozer, it's a regional Rosh Hashanah from Mila. The way they did Mila, Bimei Chazal, some still do it today, is it could be left, it's like peeled down, the Arla, and you could be left with like little strips. If that strip goes rove of the way up to the top, that's going to be Ma'akev, or if it's covering rove of the heck. Okay? So this rove gova shel atar b'makam echa, that means a strip that's going up rove this way, or rove of the atara means it's covering rove of the circumference. Okay, so that's ma'akev. Okay, so that's never gotten shy yet on people's milas. So I assume that generally we're all makvid that we try to get even sit to chain of ma'akvin as a tour to even on call try to be mahadim. Fine. Now in Mila there's a big raging machlokus you should be aware of, and just to know who your mole is and what he does. There's two ways that Mila is done. There's a traditional way, which is the way it's like in basically all poskim, the way they bring it, the way it's done in Mehad Gemara, basically. And it's the modern way it's done in Litvish America. And I don't really have a sheet there, so I don't want to push, you know, but I'm just saying. In the Gemara, you see that there's something called Mila and Priya. It says your mole, and then your Pareya. Right, the Gemara even talks about that Moshe was Mal and Yeshua was Pareya. It's two separate meisim. That what they did was first they cut around the outer skin, and then that came off. That wasn't. It's once you cut around the circumference, it's not connected. Underneath you have the Arha Priya, and that Arha Priya is a thinner layer of skin, and they would pull it down. They do a rip in it, and then pull it down with their fingernails over the Rosh HaGid, and pull it down. Okay? Yeah, can you hear this? I don't know how to, you know, like if you have, I know it's, you imagine, right, you imagine, it's like, they put my arm in here, okay? And then you have this thing closed, right? So here you cut around. And then you just pull off that hood. Okay? And then you're left, I don't know if this will work. So that's gone. And then you're left with this. So then you unbutton my shirt. I don't have to do the whole thing here. And then you just peel it down. It's a very thin layer. It peels down. And then it, I don't know, like dries up or some of it fuses back onto the gids. Okay? And then the Rosh HaGid is left Mugola, the Ospress. Okay, it's called Mila and Priya. And it was done with the fingernails. Okay. That's the way it was done. That's the way it's brought in the Rambam, Torah, Smag, Shulchan Aruch. That's the way everyone says Mila is done. Relatively recently that was changed. A little bit already started in Europe. Equipment got much better. You know. And we had there's a new way that's done. Today's done is that what they do is first they put in what's called a probe. The probe is like a blunt like thing, and it separates, they stick it, you know, through the hole on top, they stick it around and separate the Arha Priya from the Rosh HaGid. So now you still have two layers of skin on top, but the inner layer isn't connected in any way to the Rosh HaGid. Then, I'm not going to be able, my shirt's not good enough, but you just have to imagine. You take the two layers, they put a shield onto the Rosh HaGid, they pull the two layers of skin up, and they cut it over here. Then it goes back down and it leaves the Rosh HaGid revealed. And that's what's called Mila and Priya Babas Achas. doesn't use the fingernails, and that's how it's done. In the literature world, that's how it's done. I saw Sefer HaBris, Rav Pertinsky, who's an Alter Mir, a Mohel from Europe, and he wrote the classic Sefer Mila. So he pushes this. He says it's a much cleaner cut. He says it's nicer for the baby, for the mole. It's cosmetically nicer. I actually spoke to him about it. He was nifted a number of years ago. I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, but I spoke to him about it, Baruch Hashem. And he told me, he said, you have to understand. He explains to me that in Europe, you imagine, like, we're sitting there thinking how to do the meal these two ways. And Mila, and he says, in Europe when he did meals, he didn't even have a tweezers. Okay? So you couldn't just do the sort of operation there in this way. This is the way a modern doctor would do the operation. When they're there, they're extremely limited, and you don't want to go and take your knife cutting onto the R hapriya, because you don't want to bring a metal knife that close to injuring the baby. But it's already brought in Rishonim and Rav Hagel says that when you do a tafestam bris, takaras ha'gaonim should just do with the fingernail, because you don't want to start putting a knife into the Rosh Hagid. So it's just to be safe. They wanted to use the fingernails. There's no other way to do it. And in fact, Rav Moshe has a truth about this, where he's matter. This is in your day Aleph Kuf Nun Hey, and he says that yeah, Taka. It was a purely technical consideration, but Bizman is there. We could do better. Let's do better. It's also brought this amazing makor in the Shari Tzedek of the Gaonim Chelik Gimel Shar Hey. It's brought the shame of Haigon that in Bavel the minhag was to do babas achas. Oh, so that's an amazing marker, and based on that became the minhag in Ashkenazi world. However, there's the Hasidish world, the Eretz Yisrael world. They're talking about this. I have a sefer on my desk. I went through. So someone just happened to come to Beis Medrash and gave it to me this year. So I saw it as like a Simon Menashemai, I should read it. And he's like fire and brimstone going through that you can't change the minhag. Okay, so I wasn't really so, that didn't sell me so much. But I'll just tell you just what could be said. Why those who say Badafka to do a Sipranayim and two stages, they say lots of times, I just had the times that seem more reasonable to me. The biggest time that they say is from the Yalkut. The Yalkut, I don't remember if I gave Alf Marmakomus on this, so I'll just tell you what it is. Yalkut in Telem Tafshin Chaf Gimel. It's going on the Pasuk called Smosai Tomarna, that every part of a person praises Hashem and every piece of a person does mitzvot. And it goes to the body saying every part of a person does mitzvot. It says we have fingernails. With fingernails we could do Malika on an oaf in the Mikdash. And it says with fingernails we could do Priya. And with fingernails we could look at our fingernails during Havdalah. So those are just examples, things you do with your fingernails. So some say, see, this is an Indian of fingernails, but Dafka fingernails should do the Priya. Right, and different, you know, the Siddur Sefer I was reading, and, you know, giving just reasons for this. Why would this be so, you know, he gives a whole mahalach. Fingernails are a little bit also seen in Chachmas Nister as being like a klipa. The Arla and the Priya is like a klipa of tumma on a person. The fingernails, especially long fingernails, are seen as klipos and tumma on a person. The rosh, the tap of the fingernails, you find being somewhat in some way similar to the rosh hagid. You find that it says that Yosef at Tzadik is a chazal who's supposed to have 12 kids and he only had 2 kids. Why? It says at the time he was going to do the chet with Eishes Potifar, he really got too close for comfort. He didn't do a chet, he was shown with the bris. It says, but this is a chazal. I'm just going to quote it. It says, 10 drops of Shechel Zera came out of the tops of his 10 fingers. Okay. It's chazal. I don't think it's literal, whatever it means. I'm just telling you, chazal used those words. The Gemara says in Nida that if a person's having tashmish with his wife and she realizes in the middle of tashmish she became a Nida, so what's she supposed to do? What's the man supposed to do? to, he says he's no weight Tziporonov Bekarka. He should stick his nails into the ground, and that'll take away his Hanav Tashmish. Okay, the tap, for some reason, there seems to be some type of connection, so it's given, you know, that there's a chazal that to break the tumma, you have to have the tumma in you. Right? It says David was able to destroy Moab because he came from Moab. Right? You heard the chazal that the Gemara's lashon is that the axe that cuts down the tree is made of wood. And so you have to have the tumma of the Tzipornayim. This is what they should be used for. That rewrites in Parshas Lech Lecha that the Arla is completely tumma, so it's cut off, whereas the Ar Priya is a klipa, but it has a tzad of kedusha, so it shouldn't be cut off. It should just be removed down, pulled down. Okay, other things you could say. In general, the Mila, the two-stage Mila, Mila with Tziporonayim takes off less of the Arla. Right? The ones who do Bebas Achas, often they're cutting off more than they have to cut off. Right? They're cutting off not just the actual Rosh HaGid, but they'll actually cut the off even more skin than necessary. So that also, some people, Taina, you're really cutting off too much. Okay.
In the case we're doing Bebas Achas, is the father able to make that snip, or you need to be someone trained to do the snip?
So by Bas Achas, sometimes I've seen fathers doing it, because the way they set it up is so well. They set up with a shield, and now the skin is just coming out of like a piece of metal. You just pass your knife over the metal, and the meal is done. So people who do it that way, you could ask, the father could ask to do the meal himself. Okay, Ben Yamin, but be careful. That's a Shoshana one day. Okay.
You don't have to be like a professional machine for that.
Apparently not, because I've seen it done. Okay. I want Taina. So either way, you know, you could do whatever your kihil you're part of. One thing I saw, I just thought, because it bothers me, and I asked Molim about this, and I've never gotten an answer that made me happy, is that the minhag of the ones that do Babas Achas is they use the probe before the Mila, you know, maybe an hour before, or when they prep, they tell you they're prepping the baby for the Mila. So what they're actually doing is they're separating the Ar HaPriya from the Rosh HaGid, meaning these are like, they're basically retractable, but if you stick something in, you could pull the, before you actually cut it off, you could just pull it off, so that now the Ar HaPriya will be able to be pulled off the Rosh HaGid. The problem is that they do it before the Mila. The problem is that that's a chelik of the Mila. That itself is a chelik of the Mila. It's separating the Ar HaPriya from the Rosh HaGid. Different rayas that's chelik of the Mila. One is from just the fact that you can be mechal Shabbos for it. Right? Also, there's a chazal that says by Avraham Avinu, he didn't get a complete bris like Yishmael did. It says by Avraham Avinu because by him, since he was an adult, his Ar HaPriya was already separated from the Rosh HaGid. Right? So it seems like that could be part of the mitzvah. The chayit should be done after the bracha. The mice, they don't do it after the bracha. Okay, so that's just one interesting.
They do that
could be a chumrah. Sometimes they even do the day before, I heard, which is interesting. If you do the day before, how do you have to do it on Shabbos? How do you say it? So you could say that, I saw the Menchas Yitzchak, this is the Chesim Mitzadi. He says that, Enachinami, if they're going to do that, they have to do it before Shabbos. But it's a little bit funny because you you should have to do it. It's a little funny. L'chor, that's a part of the Mila, and it should be done only after you make the bracha al hamila.
You wouldn't have to do it before Shabbos, because we have the case of the Gemara where you have the two. I start the Mila, and then you do the finish part of the Mila. No?
Right. So l'chor, it's partially you could do it on Shabbos. Right? It's part of the Mila. So l'chor, it should also be after the bracha. Okay. So the last thing is to talk about just the bracha, and then we have our siyum. I didn't bring any food, I'm sorry. Should though. So the Birchas Hamila. So first, there's two brachas on the actual mitzvah. The Mohel says a bracha, Shekel Yishon Mitzvot Al Hamila. The father makes a bracha, Lachniso Bebriso Shel Avram Avinu. It's very interesting, two brachas. Why are there two brachas? So Pashat reason to say there's two brachos is because there's two mitzvos. The mitzvah in Ketesriya, It just says Mila, nothing about Bris. Just Mila, Yimol Basar Alasso. Also, in the Pasuk in Tazria, the mitzvah after Har Sinai, it doesn't say who does the Bris. It doesn't say the father, it doesn't say Bezdin. It just says Yimol. So therefore the Mohal, whoever is doing the Mila, he makes a bracha al Mitzvah Mila. That's Mitzvah Mila. The father has a mitzvah. He makes the bracha achniso bebriso shel Avram Avinu. Because there's another mitzvah. Besides the mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to be mal, it's also, this is the bris. In Lech Lecha, the whole thrust of the mitzvah is I'm giving you of my bris is going to be near Basar, Lazaro Seichem, and it's told, and Avram should give the bris to his kid. That's the din of the father, is to make sure you have Lazaro Seichem, you should come into the bris with the Kodesh Baruch. So that's the achniso bebriso shel Avram Avinu. Now the Rambam seems to have a different pshat. The Rambam says something here. He says, he thinks, this second bracha is keneged that the father has a separate mitzvah to give the bris. He says there's a mitzvah to have a bris, and there's a second mitzvah, the bris should be done by the father. And the Rambam says that second mitzvah requires a bracha. I remember we mentioned this in the Beis HaLevi, that perhaps, it seems to be, this is from the Rambam, that there's really, this isn't the mitzvah of Mila. There's a mitzvah of Mila, right? We mentioned that's what's Docha Tzeras, but the father doing it, that's Tachanak Docha Tzeras, because it's a separate mitzvah. The Rambam understands it's a separate mitzvah, that it should be done by the father or his shliach. The Rambam says that it must be done by the father or his shliach. And therefore the Rambam writes that if there is no father, the father's not there, that bracha is not made, because that mitzvah is not being done. So that's the shita. That's the shita sara hamachab and rish samachay. The accepted halacha is not that way. The accepted halacha is the Ramah. And the Ramah says no. He says, look, goes to my manios. He says no. The Sandik makes the bracha. He says because the Sandik is the shliach of Bezdin to be machnes the baby into the bris.
When there's no father, or when there's a father?
When there's no father. And it's basing on the Gemara, also the parashas Lech Lecha, it says the father should do it, but also says he mol lechem kol zachar, meaning he mol lechem, you Klal Yisrael should be mal all the babies in you. That's understood as a mitzvah to Bezdin, that Bezdin has a chiyuv to make sure that every baby has a bris, and therefore if there's no father, Bezdin has a responsibility to be machlis him into the bris, and therefore what we hold the halacha is that the sandik would make the bris lachnisel bebrisel shel Avram Avinu, and the chayra that'll be the Ramah Shita, and that it's just a separate mitzvah on the chiyuv to be machlis him into the bris. And the Chor goes very nicely, we spoke about the Chiyuv of Father, we mentioned the Rin and the Chazanish, that it could be, the Chiyuv isn't to do the Mila B'chlal, the Chiyuv on Bezdin and the Chiyuv on the Father is not to do the Bris. Not like the Rambam says that the Father has to do the Bris. It's just that there's a Chiyuv to make sure the kid gets into the Bris of Avraham Avinu. Right? And the father is doing his bris, right? Why is the Gemara so pashut? The mal makes his bris, the father makes his pashut, the father's not doing the bris. The bris is done by professionals. No reason for the father to do it. His mitzvah is, the mitzvah of the father, the mitzvah of the bezdin is, you have to make sure the kid comes into the bris of Avraham Avinu. That's seen as a separate mitzvah. Now there's a third bracha. The third bracha, the Gemara just says, Hamevarech Omer. It's just whoever gets this brach, whoever you want to give the kibbutz to. And that's the brach of Koris HaBris. Right? A very beautiful brach, Asher Kiddush. You did me beten, Chok V'Sheir Osam, right? The Chosam V'Osur is Kodesh, Alkem V'Skar Zos. The whole beautiful brach ending with Koris HaBris. The Hashem gave us the bris, and we say the bris saves us from Gehenim. if you have a bris, you don't have the same Gehenna as an Aral gets. And this beautiful Milo being a bris with a Kodesh Baruch. And that lecher is coming for, there's a third theme here, which besides for being even a mitzvah lechacha and the actual ma'aseh bris, the bris is a bris with a Kodesh Baruch. You're making a bris with the Eibishter. We're saying a bris shevach for that bris with the Eibishter. You find interesting machlokas here. I'll just end with this machlokas. The interesting machlokas Rishonim, that in the Gemara just says what the Mavarach says. It doesn't say anything about a kos. But it is a Masorah from the Gaonim. This brach is made on a kos. So Shaila, what do you do when there's no kos? Mordechai brings a number of shittos about this. If you don't have a kos, do you still make the bracha? Very common nafka mina is Yom Kippur. But in a kippur you don't have a kos, so what do? You make the bracha? So there's a number of shittos. We'll just say the most machmir shita first. The Mordechai quotes b'shem Rabbeinu Yaakov bar Shimshon. He says if there's no kos, there's no bracha. Rabbeinu Tam, quoting the Mordechai, he says, no, that's absurd. Mehechitesi. You say you have a Masorah from the Gaonim, but Mehechitesi, the kos is ma'akev. Generally, a kos is not ma'akev in a bracha, like in Birchas Hamazon. Right? If you don't have a kos, you still bench. So too, Birchas Eirsin. Right? Not Nesuma. Birchas Eirsin, Asher Asalonis Harayas, the Birchas HaMitzvah, for Kiddushin, you have a kos, but if there's no kos, you still make the bracha. And even the brachas Leil HaSeder, like Gal Yisrael and the brach on the Halal, you say those brachas even if you don't have a kos. You have to have a kos with the Dal of Kosos, but it's not a ma'akev in the bracha. It's a mile to the bracha to have a kos. It's funny that there's a shita that the kos is actually ma'akev. I just thought, the only place where we find kos being ma'akev, so we find it by Kiddush and Havdalah. It's ma'akev. The other place we find it, at least to many Rishonim, is Birchas Nisuin, Mingsheva Brachos, meaning the Asher Bara and Shekol Baruch Chod. Those brachos, out of kos, you don't make it. The Rishonim, right? You don't make those many Rishonim, right? Most Rishonim, right? You don't make those brachos out of kos. The thought of Pshat is that kos is only ma'akev when the drinking of the kos. That's Having a kos is part of what's the whole machai for the bracha. So by Kiddush, of course, having a kos, if you don't have a kos, you use hamotzi, but having something to eat or drink, that's a part of the mitzvah, because the whole mitzvah is about eating. Right? You can't eat without Kiddush. Kiddush is coming to mekadosh the achila of Shabbos. Havdalah is coming to be mechalek between the achila, the weekday achila, the Shabbos achila and the weekday achila. So you're drinking with it. You're drinking because that's what's doing. You can't eat until after Havdalah. You can't eat until before Kiddush. It has something to do with this kedusha of the achila. By Sheva Brachos, the Sheva Brachos is a part of the mitzvah of Simchas Mishta. There's a chiyuv we learned from Lavan to make a mishta, dafka mishta, which means it's drinking, for Simchas Chasun Lekal, and a chelik of that is a Sheva Brachos, so it has to be made on the kos. The chayra, is it sad to say, so too by Mitzvah Smila. Mitzvah Smila, Chazal learned this drasha in Pirkei Rav Elazar. It says that Avram made a mishta, dafka mishta of drinking, b'yom he gamal es Yitzchak. He weaned Yitzchak, but it's a remez that not only for his weaning, also for his bris. He gamel, it says, Darshan's, hey gimel mal. Hey gimel equals 8. His mila on the 8th day that Avram made a mishta. There's a din of mishta. You find there's a chazal that in Mitzrayim, Moshe was Perea, Moshe was mal, Yeshua was Perea. And Aaron was mashka. He gave to drink from the cup of wine afterwards. I mean, drinking that cup of wine, we put it in the baby's mouth. We say, but mayachayi, drinking that is a chelik of the mitzvah. There's a medrash quoted in Tosus Pesachim Kuf Yud Dalet, a nice medrash to know. It says that if you eat on the suda of mila, it gets you out of Gehenim. something, some level of love. It helps you get out of Gehenna, I don't know. Depends how many Averus a person's done, but apparently that's a, I don't know what it is, a school of Gehenna, I don't know. But it's like a bris gets a person that has to have salah from Gehenna. Avraham Avinu takes out of Gehenna the people who have a bris. So this is like a part of that, it's eating from the Suda. So actually, the whole inner bris, a bris with Hashem, it's like chasen of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We mentioned there's a pasuk that says chatan damim lemilos. It says Tzipporah says it's like a chasen of this bris, and it has an inin of a suta. Okay, so lemaisa, bottom line, the Shulchan Aruch says on Yom Kippur no one paskins like this, even though I'm explaining it so nicely, but no one actually paskins like this. The shita of Rabbeinu Yaakov, no one paskins like, but we do have two shitas. The Mechaber says Ataka on Yom Kippur, you make the bracha without the coast, like Rabbeinu Tam, that you make the chorus have bris just without a coast is an akiv. Rama has a kapshara, which is the third shita in the Yerushalmi. The Rama, which is what we do lemaisa, is he says you use a coast on Yom Kippur, and you make the bracha of chorus have bris. Where choshish, maybe chorus have bris needs a coast. You want to have that coast. You make it all a coast, and you give the baby to drink. And you make a bori priya gafen. So that's his psak. Even though the mice, you're making a bori priya gafen, you're not drinking, right? And the baby is not paying attention to your bracha, so you think it's a bracha vatala. The Rama holds it not the way he holds it. Since there's a din, right, we have the shita that is such an integral part of the meal is having a coast and having the baby get a little drip out of that coast. So because we're using the wine for that, that's enough to allow us to make a bori priya gafen and allowing us to use the wine for this mitzvah to be mashka to the baby, and they give the baby on Yom Kippur a little drink from the coast. Oh. Tishkech, that's our siyum. Rav Shlomo, you came to bring things for our siyum. This is the last day. But the Rav Shlomo siyum, and I just want to give everyone a tremendous yashkech, because everyone's a part of it. I want to thank everyone for the sandwich I gave from the chevra, and from all the ha'aros. That Hashem, we should keep going weiter, and we should see gal einai v'epita neflos mitar secha. Hashem should show us neflos from Torah, and we should go weiter and weiter. Lishmer v'lasos, the Torah, and Be'ez Hashem. A big goodbye to Rabbi Yonasan. Hopefully, maybe coming back or one day, or Be'ez Hashem. Hopefully, more likely, we'll all be with you in Yerushalayim, and we shall see good things. Okay, Shkach. Thank you, everyone.
Shkach. So putting in the probe, it's shayach for it to go and refuse back after, or it's forever probed away?
I think it'll go back, it'll fuse again.
I mean, when it came
it
to the adult,
for a short time.
When it came to the adult, we said it's not going to go and refuse back.
Right, yeah.
Whereas when it comes to the child,
a baby, I think it would, I think, what I saw really, there's a muter that even by babies it's not fused. It's not like such a...
if it's not going to fuse back, then I hear a lot more of the argument to say it's going to be a chiyuk of the mila.
Of the mila.
If it is going to fuse back, then did I really do something? Immediately it'll make it easy for me to do the chiyuk, but it wasn't actually the chiyuk itself.
Okay, maybe. But then my kasher would be, is why don't we do it before Shabbos? You know, so the Minchas Yitzchak says, yeah, you have to do it before Shabbos. That's conceivable.
At the end of the day, it's still eaten in the meal process, no? Meaning, if I do, let's say, the Tzios meal, and you do the Sof meal, ignoring the base Yosef, and the passage of the Gemara, that's fine.
Yeah.
So I didn't do a complete meal, it doesn't matter. So too, I did the Tzios of the probe. So that we're assuming there's a malach on that. I'm not even sure what the malach is.
Let me think, just one second. You were here next year, yeah? You were not here? And I'm saying Yonasan. Hey, could that's my favorite work?
Of course.
I didn't realize.
No, no problem.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I just was after this, so I don't really, I didn't ask you. Okay. Oh, that's good. Thank you so much.
I need to figure out what the program
was. Okay. Yeah, I'm
going to support. My stuff. No. This is supposed to get chat.
I was in.
Oh, okay, great.
The card's not going to be chat.
Oh, it's going to be happy. Yeah, kind of.
phone. Do you want to get an ice cream with the same?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, we have ice cream. We have Dan's ice cream. Yeah. Oh, but there's Mazen. Okay. In the common.
No, no. I have no problem with ice cream.
Yeah. So when it comes to the case of the probe, you're not separating it permanently. Why does everything be different in the case of the Gemara where I did the Tchivas of Chituch and then you did the other probe? And also, what is everything the Malacha is? That needs to be Dreikha Shabbos in the first place.
So this is different.
It's maybe a mukhsi.
There's actually a lot, I didn't tell you everything about this. The art shuvos, the emesis of Shlomo Zalman says it's Davashenim Skavin because it doesn't always. The Shaila is considered Davashenim Skavin.
Does it cause blood or does it not cause blood?
Yeah, so I think it as far as I can avar, it might not cause bleeding because it's not always fused. But the whole reason you're doing this is to break it apart. And therefore, chayra is considered a malacha.
Pashas I'm not malacha. Interested in it bleeding. Mithas what am I interested in? Which malacha? What malacha am I interested in?
You're interested in making.
It's like a gozes, a toish?
A kabura.
It's not a kabura, no. It's not down.
You're interested in cutting the.
If I go and cut a part of a body which doesn't have any blood. So in that case, then I wouldn't let it go. It could be ghosts, that I could hear.
Uh-huh.
And I do want it to go and be separate.
Uh-huh. But you want it, right? We spoke of that once. A psik resha, that's not mamash a psik resha,
I don't want the dam.
But you want
if it's guys, it's fine. If it's mitzah dam, then
right.
No, I don't
but
want
you
the dam.
You want to cut the skin, which is a psik resha.
No, it's not
okay.
A psik resha.
I don't know. Okay, because this shares about this, but yeah. The pashas is part of the. I didn't tell you over the whole thing because it's too long, but that sefer Brisah Shel Avraham. He quotes a Zohar that says that Avraham Avinu didn't have the complete mitzvah priya.
Yeah, and Taisa says he was mekayim it anyway as an mitzvah osay in oral.
Okay, that's a shaila. Yeah. Okay. He says no, but he says that even though priya was given to Avraham, he didn't have complete mitzvah priya because since he was older, yeah. It was very disconnected. Rabbi Shmuel, thank you so much. I got it back.
You got it back. That's yeah. I waited for an hour and a half as that.